Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I'm Zach, and I am sitting here with LaShawn and Stacy. What's going on, guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hanging out. I got my... This is really misleading. This is water, but it was Diet Coke, so now it's just caramel-colored water.
Lovely.
It's very good.
Oh, yummy.
Probably very healthy for you as well. We're not talking about Coke or water that looks like Coke today. We're talking about you guys and how God's been moving in your lives. And I've just gotten little snippets of this story here and there. I had Randy kind of prompt me for, you know, kind of the direction we're moving. But I'm going to let you guys do most of the talking. And I'm going to kind of prompt away, you know.
Sure.
So, where did you guys meet? Maybe let's start there. Or let's, start by telling a little bit about each of yourselves.
Yeah. So, I'm Stacy Miller. I'm actually on staff here at New Hope as our director of grade school kids ministry. I currently help teach first grade at an IPS school here locally in Indy.
I'm LaShawn Wagner. We've been attending New Hope for over 10 years now. I am an IPS first grade teacher, and have been doing that. This will be my fifth year.
Cool. Teaching. So how did you guys meet?
I think here, right?
Here.
Yeah.
New Hope.
Here.
Yeah. Did that just kind of happen organically, or were you in like a group together, or?
No, I think did I meet just because I had your kids in grade school ministry?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm making sure my phone's not going to ring on us in the middle of this. Awesome. Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I started back to teaching. In 2017, Stacy was very quick to say, "What can I do to help you?" And she asked for prayer requests. She started doing fundraising, like the kids in Kids Kingdom would bring in school supplies for me for my first grade classroom. She'd make flashcards, give us little treats. It just went on and on. And even that first year that I taught, there were some families that I had reached out to New Hope and a couple different New Hope small groups, bought Christmas presents and gifts for some of my families there. So, and she was part of that.
Very cool.
She's been supporting me for a while now, first grade class.
Awesome. So, as far as what we're talking about today, there's been some big moves, some big changes happening with you guys. Why don't we get into that?
Yeah. So for a while, I felt a little stirring that the job that I've had for the last 18 years was not what I was really being called to do. I loved that job. That job paid pretty well, but it didn't feel fulfilling. I loved my patients, loved my coworkers. I worked with my best friend. But it just didn't feel like that's what God was really calling me to do. I felt like I was being called to step out of my comfort zone and try something that I hadn't done for 18 years.
Okay. And I'm sorry, not to like poke at this, but do you want to like go into like just kind of a broad
view
of like what that was?
Yeah, I practiced pharmacy for 18 years in various capacities, whether that was teching in a typical retail pharmacy. I worked in long-term care pharmacy, did med reviews, worked in a sterile lab making IVs, most recently worked with HIV patients here in the Indy area, serving them and meeting their medication needs.
Okay. Was that pretty tough through COVID?
Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing makes you want a career change like a pandemic working in a hospital.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Pandemic working in a school is not so easy either.
It is not.
That's fair.
I mean, we just shut down. We went home. We didn't have a clue what that looked like, you know, that first spring. And then we were virtual and, and then I had some kids virtual and some kids in the classroom mid-year last year. And that was very tough. I thought that was, you know, the hardest year I'd ever had.
Yeah.
So I haven't had to, like, hand anybody their like prescription drugs or like work closely with any like sick people or like you know, wiping any kids' noses or anything like that. But I have had to touch people's heads for like 30 minutes at a time for 9 hours a day for the last whatever, how many months, you know. So I've kind of had the hands-on people-on-people thing as well going on here. So, yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
So you felt like you weren't fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened next?
So I didn't feel like I was making a difference. And then this is where LaShawn came in.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to start with your part?
Okay. Well, teaching in a pandemic is very difficult. And we had 7 teachers either retire or change careers or move out of our school last year. So we hired a lot of new staff. And we hired a new – so one of my first grade teammates went to just rolled up to second grade with her class. And then the other one moved to another school. So I was left the only first grade teacher. And then we hired a girl that had taught 2 years. And she came on and taught for 3 weeks and gave her notice Friday morning, packed up her room Friday night.
Okay, so pause.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to discuss, like, say as much as you can. I don't want to like put you in an awkward position or anything. I don't know. But like, is it a rough job? I mean, is it just a really tough job?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Low economic needs, lots of trauma in our school with our students, lots of needs. Okay. High risk needs, and it is very difficult, and the behaviors are very challenging,
mentally, emotionally, physically challenging.
Yeah, yes, and we do go through teachers. I mean, teachers don't stay long.
Okay,
it's yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt there. That's I just okay. kind of wanted to get kind of a
yeah. So after 3 weeks, you know, she had taught 2 years in first grade in a Catholic school. And after 3 years or 3 weeks into the year, she was like, I cannot do this.
Oh, wow.
So she gave her, like I said, she packed up her classroom Friday evening. So I went home praying. At the time, I only had 14 students in my classroom. She only had 14, and that really is unheard of. That's very low. Mm-hmm. So my concern was our school was probably going to be losing a teacher anyway because of ADM, you know, it was a very low number. So I could possibly take on her 14 students, put them in my classroom, and that would be a large first grade class. So I began praying, Lord, is this something that you would have me do? Because this is a huge decision to make. And I began praying Friday night. My principal hadn't reached out to me. She had not said anything to me yet. I didn't know what she was thinking, what was going on exactly. But I reached out to her Saturday afternoon, and I said, my heart is for the students. And I feel like if we just hire a sub and try to find a teacher at this point of the year, it's going to be a revolving door for these children. It's going to be sub after sub because we are – you know, about three, four weeks into the school year, most schools had already started a week or so before IPS had. So it's going to be hard to find a teacher that wants to come in and, you know. So my thought was, I will take those students. I'll be that one stable teacher. And then asked her if she would hire me a really good assistant, like a strong assistant. And she says, do you know anybody? No, I don't know anyone. I mean, no one was coming to mind. So I said, that's our next prayer request. And she's a Christian. And she said, well, I've been praying. I don't, you know, what are we going to do? And we started praying about it. So we're going to meet on Sunday and talk more about it. So immediately I sent a SOS text to several girls here at church at New Hope that pray for me all the time. And I said, we really need a strong assistant because I'm going to take in 14 more students starting, you know, the fourth, fifth week of school. And I have no one in mind, and they don't pay assistants very well. So it has to be someone who really wants to be there. Again, really difficult situation. Yeah. So we start praying about who God would put into the classroom with me with 28 little six-year-olds who a lot of them did not go to kindergarten, or if they did, it was just virtual, or it was maybe a semester because we were, you know, mostly virtual last year. So,
man, okay. And so prayer requests are out.
Yes.
You are one of the people this is sent to.
Right? I am praying. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So,
yes.
So lead me on. What's going on?
So I'm at the check-in desk on Sunday morning, and LaShawn walks in, and she always comes in and says good morning to us. And I don't even know what prompted it. I think I just looked at her and said, would your principal hire me?
That's a bold question.
It was. It was an unplanned question.
You are not a teacher.
I am not a teacher. I am not a teacher. No.
Okay. So how'd that
but
go?
But it was assistant, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Just it was.
Yeah. I said, yes, she would. Absolutely. So
we texted off and on.
All day.
All day.
I met with my principal and the assistant principal, started talking. What would this look like, you know, if I took on this class? And really, honestly, some first grade classes are 26, you know, 24, 26 students.
Sure.
Should not really be that big of a jump. However, we are not that usually do that many students in a classroom because of the high needs. Really, you know, we really try hard to keep our classrooms small because there is a lot of hands-on. They do need a lot of that, you know, small group and one-on-one and things like that. So anyway.
So Sunday night, we schedule for me to go in on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Hadn't really heard back from the principal yet about whether I'd be able to interview, you know, what I could do. But if nothing else, I was going to go in and work in her classroom just as a classroom volunteer. So I go in on Tuesday, and the principal is available. We sit down, and we have a very brief conversation at literally maybe 10 minutes. I don't even know that I'd classify it as an interview because the conversation really kind of came back to LaShawn trusts you. LaShawn thinks you'd be really good at this.
It's like to vet
We're
you
good.
To make sure you're not a crazy person.
Sure.
That's literally it.
Yeah. And I said, well, I'm in. And at this point, we still didn't even know how I was being hired on. Am I going to be hired on as an employee? Am I hiring on as a substitute or a contractor? You know, we didn't have any of those details worked out. But I said, I'm in. Full disclosure, said I'm in before I ever talked to my husband about making a decision, what on earth the pay would look like. I had a pretty good idea about how much of a pay cut it would come down to. Did not discuss that with him. This is probably the least thought through change I have ever made in my entire life.
Well, I can't let her think too long or she'll just say no.
But I was probably the most at peace saying, yeah, I'm in. And so
in her dress and her high heels when she came in to volunteer, I was like, that's not gonna last long.
So the principal and I walk down to the classroom, and I'm walking down to volunteer just to do whatever she needs to do. She just combined two classrooms. Desks need names, kids need supplies.
And that's what we were doing. Here, can you make these name tags?
Yep. Yeah. And I walk in, and Mrs. Sharp, without saying anything to you first, I don't think she did.
No.
Says, class, I'd like to introduce you to one of your new teachers.
That's and, how she worded it.
And I thought she was going to break down standing across the classroom.
I was, about in tears. So excited and so happy and like, God, what are you doing? This is a dream, you know, because when you think of assistant just coming in like that and getting paid very little, I mean, we're talking $10, $12 possibly, you know. I did not feel like I was going to have someone really strong that was really going to know how to step in and help. Like, I was going to have to direct them in everything to do.
Right, right.
So, you know, that's helpful, but it's also extra work
right.
to try to train someone. And I knew I was not going to have to train Stacy much at all.
Right. Well, I mean, that's kind of what you've done here forever.
I do.
Right?
So. Yeah. I work with first through fourth graders here. Now that we've combined a little bit, it's even preschool through fourth graders. I have a fifth grader myself. So I've had a front seat to seeing what education can and should look like from the family side. But I've also been blessed that my daughter's teachers have always let me be very involved in her classroom. So with my previous work schedule, I would spend most of my Tuesdays in her classroom just doing whatever her teachers needed done. So I kind of had an idea of what the rhythm of a classroom looked like, had an idea of what teachers might need. LaShawn's always been very honest about what her class is like. I wasn't going in blind. I knew that there would be some behavior needs and there would be some redirection that I needed to take care of. I also knew there was trauma. And one of the other things that God had lined up was that I've become passionate. While I'm not a foster care parent myself, I love the foster community. So I've gone to several trauma trainings, and we try to implement a lot of those ideas, even here, just in Kids Kingdom and church.
We're pretty blessed in that regard here at New Hope. I mean, there are a lot of foster families.
Absolutely. So I think I didn't know it at the time, but serving an underserved community, you know, through my work in healthcare, working with, you know, some kiddos at Charlotte's previous school, as well as here, that had had some pretty extensive trauma histories, having friends that have kiddos with pretty extensive trauma histories, all of those little things were preparing me to walk into that classroom and have any semblance of an idea of what I needed to do.
Right. Maybe not the path you would have expected it to look like.
Sure.
But
not at all.
God, that's kind of how God tends to work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, He prepares you in the ways you don't even know it's happening while it's happening.
Yep.
Okay. So you're there now. Let's talk about...
Well, she was hired on.
I was hired on. I gave
and
my 2 weeks notice.
And she had to give a 2 weeks notice.
Yep.
And while she was doing that, I was still teaching. I had a they had hired a substitute to stay in the classroom with me. But my family decided to get COVID. So I had to go home. And they were actually... in the about a week with just two substitutes that neither one had been in my classroom. Well, the one had subbed with me for a week. And then Stacy started her first week while I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
That was very hard for me. In fact, she came over and we sat outside for like
hours.
I was preparing her for her week.
Going through lesson plans.
Going into class.
Telling about little kiddos, what they needed, what I could do to help them through their day. Just for hours. So 5 or 6 hours that
Friday. Was very, very difficult for me to sit at home while she was doing that. But mm-hmm. also, I had some other stuff going on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to go there.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, I had some other stuff that God was preparing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe I can swallow that in a minute.
Yeah, no, that's up to you. But on the flip side of that, though, you're brand new
mm-hmm.
to this place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know anybody.
Don't know where the cafeteria is.
don't know
where the gym room
the
is.
Bathroom.
Yes.
And now you're going from 0 to 300
uh-huh.
immediately, right?
Yep.
So what, like roughly 30 kids, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so was the sub still there, though, to help you?
She was in the room, yes.
Okay. But, I mean, did she really know much more than you, though?
Not really. I mean, she knew the kids' names,
right.
which was more than I knew.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's helpful, then.
She could identify which child was which.
Okay.
But that was about where we were at. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So how did that go?
I mean, looking back... it went a lot better than at the moment that I felt it did, right in that immediate feeling it happen.
What did I get myself into?
There's a lot of needs in that classroom, and the mom in me, the nurturer in me, I wanted to meet all of them. And it's kind of been hard to come to terms with knowing you can't meet all of them exactly when they need them. But we made it through. I kept track of everybody. Nobody went home bleeding. Nobody was, you know, unaccounted for. We did. We made it through. I think it was probably 2 days in, but I texted her. I said, we made it through the reading lesson. You know, just making it through a lesson was a big deal because these kids had no structure. So suddenly I'm coming in trying to implement structure, trying to make it through a lesson plan.
Because I was out 21 days.
Yeah.
Because we went through COVID, you know, we do it slowly. We didn't
my,
do
my
it
all. My cousin, her clan got it. She never actually got it. But
I didn't either.
Because she was exposed to them, she had to quarantine
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she was out for a month, mm-hmm. roughly.
Mm-hmm. That was, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
that
crazy.
Me.
So
yeah.
that must just be the standard for school teachers then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you live with them and
yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So while I'm home, I learned that I found that I have cancer. And so it was like, okay, God, you didn't just give me Stacy for as a help. I mean, as a real help. God right. was preparing that. Because then, you know, I've been in the classroom now. What have we done this? Three, four weeks together. Mm-hmm. And so she's preparing to take over while I'm going to be out. November 18th is my surgery.
Okay.
And she will take the rest of the semester on herself.
Mm-hmm. Man.
But I know. I love the job. It's hard. Mm-hmm. Very hard. Mm-hmm. But
you're excited to go every day.
You think about your students and what they need and what you can't always meet, like she said, you can't meet all their needs, but you're going to be a stable person in their life.
Yeah.
And you're going to share that love and you're going to fight tooth and nail to teach them something, whether they want to learn it or not.
Exactly.
Well, honestly, your influence of just being a beacon of stability is probably more than you even know.
It's probably more than what a lot of them have.
Right.
Even at home.
I mean, I'm amazed when I talk to people my age. I mean, I'm roughly 30. And, like, I talk to guys my age or girls my age, and, like, just talking to them about, like, the way they grew up and stuff, it's, like, day and night compared to what I experienced. And mm-hmm. so, like, I mean, it's out there. And the effects do show a lot in people later in life if they never did have that source of stability. But I talk to so many people where they're like, yeah, but I had this one person in my life that just really poured into me, like, really tried to help me, like, be something. And, like, and that's what it all comes down to a lot of the mm-hmm. time. And so, I mean, if you can be that for somebody that doesn't have that, or just to try and walk them through stuff, that's awesome.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's what we're trying to do.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's very hard. It's a difficult job. It really is. And mm-hmm. there's lots of days I can't do this anymore, Lord. I'm quitting.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, anybody in a difficult job that says that they never have that day is going to have it, or they're lying.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, yeah. I just put it out there. I'm not lying.
Yeah.
But, and Stacey knew what she was getting into. I feel like maybe not, but I mean, it's rough because there are 28 of them. So mm-hmm. you don't just have a few. We have probably eight that really have high need mm-hmm. behaviors.
That really need one-on-one attention. And there's only two of you. So somebody's needs don't get met, and it affects everybody else. So I went from one profession that was a dumpster fire in the middle of a pandemic to another. Just changed job title.
I like that. I think you might be the first person that said dumpster fire on this podcast. So I'm pretty excited about that, honestly.
But God has been in it and is mm-hmm. in it.
Oh, no doubt, right?
How he works. He prepares us.
He does.
Yeah, but, you know, the other cool thing is, like you had to say yes,
mm-hmm.
right?
I did.
And that's the really incredible part to me, because, I mean, that's a leap for you to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Huge.
And so God's putting this on your heart, but you still had to comply. But look how all the pieces are connecting, mm-hmm. all because you actually leaned into what God was putting on your heart.
Yeah.
And think, how often does that happen when we don't say yes?
Right.
And what happened because we didn't?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But, and I think that's what's so cool, is that being probably the most rash thing I've ever done, I'm a very type A. Everything is planned out. I know every possible contingency. I know what's going to happen next.
Yep.
And to walk into that office pretty much already knowing what decision I was going to make.
Right.
Without seeing any of the next steps or any of the details, that was 100% God, because that is not my nature to
feels kind of good,
like
though,
that.
Right?
It does.
Lean into
yeah.
the chaos a little
yeah.
bit. Just
yeah.
like, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Roll the dice. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's like – so what that kind of reminds me of is when they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant across the river, and the river is flowing, and God says, I'll stop it, but you've got to step in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't actually stop it until they step in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're already too far at that point to turn back. You're going to die if this water doesn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as they actually do it, that's when God stops the river.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, yeah, I mean, it's sort of that, like, blind faith, but, yeah. like, it's not blind. I mean, it's like, you have reason to trust him.
Absolutely.
Right.
But there's not a whole lot of, like, real world logic to go, this is a really good idea.
Right. You know? Yeah, like, absolutely none.
That, right. Yeah, I was going to say there really was none.
No.
But look how it's all fallen in place, though. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely so need her.
Cool. Yep.
So she's going to... Are you going to go into teaching?
I am, yeah, I'm doing my transition to teaching. Yeah, no, I'm doing my transition to teaching. So this will be my career path going forward. So,
very cool.
Yeah, it's an entirely different, different demands. Mm-hmm. But I think one of my favorite things that I didn't anticipate was, I get to see my husband and my kid before I go to work. Yeah. Whereas before I was driving into work, 5:30 in the morning and working 10, 11, 12 hours and didn't get to see him. So I might not be home for dinner on time every night, but, to see Charlotte be able to wave bye to me and give me a hug. And she makes my coffee every morning for me. So, just those little things that, I know what I'm heading into, but those little bits of joy, first thing in the morning with my own family, make a world of difference about, just my attitude going into the day.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, just little things here and there that and then the kids make it, the kids are just awesome. They are challenging. They have needs, but you love every single one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see you,
Yeah.
There.
Yep.
And when they grow or they learn something, mm-hmm. they're still first graders. They like that.
Yeah.
Their little light bulbs come on. And
yeah.
So I understand this is like a totally different thing, but I've started helping with the middle school here recently.
Uh-huh. Oh, good.
And like, I didn't really know that that was going to happen. And then right. I got asked, would sure. you be interested in helping? I was like, yeah, cool. And the weird thing is like, I really have to like, I'm learning by learning how to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I have to phrase things in certain ways where it's like I don't seem patronizing or something, like talking to a kid. But at the same time, like, I want to, like, ask good questions. I don't just want to ask, like, shallow questions that don't really
sure.
invoke any thought. So I'm, like, having to, like, rack my brain and be like, oh, what was I like when I was that age?
Sure.
Like, and, I mean, do you guys have to deal with any of that? Like, you're kind of, like, seeing, like, some, like, maybe things in yourself that needed to change. Or
oh, always.
I see a lot of things that I've learned as a parent that I have to do every day. If you work with middle school, you'll get to know my kiddo, Charlotte, pretty
yep,
well.
Yep.
She's very literal. So the example I always use if I say, Charlotte, go throw your shoes in your room, what I mean is, Charlotte, take your shoes into your room and put them in your closet where your shoe rack is. Charlotte literally goes and chucks them through the air into her bedroom. She does exactly what I told her to do, but that's not what
but
I intended.
Exactly what
exactly.
you told her to do.
So,
right?
So I've learned giving directions.
Precise directions. That's what we're working
explicitly
on.
Explicitly what I mean. Is super important, and I picked that up just from watching my own kid. So, yeah, it's really funny to see just how much of life and friends and family really do influence who you become in the classroom.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, I mean, what's your next step in this world?
We don't really
I don't
know.
Know.
Do we?
Okay. I mean, I think
we're going to need a first grade teacher next year.
We'll need a first grade teacher. I mean, we don't even know what the rest of this year really looks like, pending, outcomes of her surgery and results that come from that. So stay tuned. We're not really sure.
Yeah.
But, I will be doing the courses that I need to do for full licensure through the state of Indiana to be, an actual licensed teacher. But in the meantime, just trying to meet the needs that I can and teach them something in the process.
Yeah, we could use some prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask for any prayer requests.
We do now have 30 students on our roster because a couple have moved in. So it's considering, do we split the class again and make two classrooms, which is possible. Stacy can get what they call emergency teaching license for the rest of the year, and she would be the teacher in that classroom. So we'd both have, about 15 students each. that has been presented to us, and neither one of us know what to say.
Right.
Because we're like, we're tag teaming it right now. So when that meltdown is happening, you know, I can continue to teach. She can take care of the meltdown, right. Or mm-hmm. vice versa. And if we're in a classroom, with, even though it's 15 and 15, it might be less students, but it's not going to be less meltdowns.
Right,
and
right.
Because we, like I said, we have about 8 that really are right. really struggling this year.
So, yeah.
So
the thought of not having somebody else in the classroom is slightly terrifying.
Yeah, it's almost more comforting the other way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Another prayer request.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll be praying for you as well with your surgery and everything.
Yeah. God is good.
No, absolutely.
He's just gone ahead. He's plowed the way, mm-hmm. you know, and is preparing.
Yeah.
So, and he sent me friends that have gone through cancer and all that who just are pouring into me, and I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of the blessings.
That's awesome.
And how he's taking care of me.
Good. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And with you.
I help where I can.
I know. I love her. I love working with her every day. It's great.
This is awesome. I love it. Guys, this is an awesome story. Do you have anything else that you like want to share with everybody?
I mean, I think from my end, it's just follow what your calling is.
Yeah.
Don't be complacent. Don't be afraid to step out into the water when you don't see the bottom, you don't see the water, you know, calming. But take that step and you will be richly rewarded. It's the most fulfilling thing I've ever done. The hardest thing I've ever done. But by far the most rewarding.
But rewarding maybe not in a comfort sense, right? Like
no. See, you know, being able to pour into these kids, you know, being able to pour into these kids and see them form a relationship with me and, you know, with LaShawn and, you know, just the rest of our class, and just literally seeing kids change before your eyes just because you're steady and you're the one that's there. And that means a lot to me.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of poke at that for a second because, like, I think when people hear reward, they immediately think of, like, money or
not much of that. No.
Well, it's so like we go to these kind of like creature comforts, you know, but like there's so much greater rewards.
Absolutely.
In service, you know, that you gain in ways you didn't know you needed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not like she's like, wow, I did a great job. I feel really good today.
Right.
You don't go home feeling that way.
And you don't go home and you just relax. You go home and you work for another 3 or 4 hours to try to feel ready for the next day. So it's a lot. There's a lot of needs to meet and there's a lot of work to do, but you see results in the kids and that means the world to me.
Yeah.
And one of our little friends in the beginning of the year, his anger outburst was just to rip things up. Like he ripped up his entire math book.
Oh no.
And that is slowly getting like pencils. He'd go through pencils, 2 or 3 pencils a day, you mm-hmm. know. And it was silent, you know, like quiet tears and just a lot of anger. His mom passed away when he was 4. So, you know, when I say trauma, I just mean there just is a lot. Last week we had a little girl come in crying. She had to make a decision. Was she going to move to Texas with her mom or stay here with dad? And in her mind, she was not going to see the other parent. So whether she went to Texas, she would not see her dad anymore. She stayed with her dad. She would not ever see mom again. And she's 6.
And her parents are asking her to make this decision by the end of the school day.
She's the pawn between the parents. And all of our kiddos, you know, we have a little guy who was in foster care. Now he's back with mom. And that's a rocky road for him.
But when they need something, they come to us for a hug.
Yeah.
They come to us for reassurance.
Yeah. You know, we have kiddos that are homeless. They'll talk about living at the motel at times or living with grandma. I mean, we just, mm-hmm. just all different, you know, situations or, you know, a parent has passed away or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
So pray for us.
Absolutely.
And it's our city, you know, it's our, there are kids. We need to, no matter where we live, I don't. We need to claim it.
It's, well, we talk about here at New Hope being the best church for our community. That's what we want to be. We want to be able to. I say the best church. We don't want to be the best. We just want to be there for our community.
We want to meet their needs. Yeah.
Right. And so, like, pray for these kids. Pray for their families. Pray for their teachers. Pray for these school districts.
Yes,
and get involved how you can and when you can and help how you can. And that doesn't just go for school systems, but anything this community needs.
Mm-hmm. Be those hands and feet of Jesus. You know, people ask me, why do you want to stay in IPS? Well, it's where God has me.
Yeah.
And it is hard. But be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I think one of you pastors, you know, Jesus ran toward the people that most of us try to avoid.
Right.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we need to, that's part of it, is running toward the people who.
And I can't say Jesus' name and I can't quote scripture to them, but I can show them who he is through how I treat them, how I respond to them, you know, how I love them well, how I meet their needs. And that's important that they see that from somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. I like that, guys. I think you're doing a great thing. And
if not crazy.
We don't feel successful. We don't always feel successful, but we know God's got it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, but you know, I think true servanthood, true kind of living out God's calling, you don't catch a break. It's not easy most of the time. I mean, you probably have seasons where it does get easier. I mean, God doesn't want you to just rack your brain forever.
Life
right?
is really nice knowing I can count out how many weeks till my next break. That's what keeps teachers, I think.
That's fair. I only have to make it this much.
Three more weeks.
I can do it.
Then I get a breather.
Yeah.
Love it, guys. Right on. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on here and talking to us about what God's doing in your lives and how he's at work and kind of reminding us, anybody listening, one, that we need to be praying for the people that need it, you guys included, your classroom included, our community included, and that we need to get out and we need to be the hands and feet of Christ, like you said. Which
be
is
brave.
Not easy.
I mean, no.
Jesus spent a whole lot of time crying in gardens, and it eventually killed him, you know? But, I mean, he knew that that was what needed to be done, and so he stepped up and he did it, and he asks us to do the same thing. And so I know that's crazy. That sounds crazy, and he knew that too, but he still expects that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to see you guys leaning into that calling. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, love to have you guys back.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you guys.
Continued.
Exactly. Thank you guys for listening to Salty Saints. If you've got questions, you can send those to us at saltysaints@becomehope.com or questions@becomehope.com. I remembered. That was good. And until next time, stay salty.
Hello, hello, Punis Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.